Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we are going to take communion here in a few minutes, right? Yes, okay. I want to make sure that on Resurrection Sunday we have communion. Yes. Resurrection Sunday. You know, technically speaking, we come here every time we come here, but especially today, we come here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. Nothing. If you don't know Jesus now, one day, and I'd hate to be that day, amen. One day, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will come to know Him. Amen. And it will be as He puts you in the lake of fire. I don't want that, do you?
No.
He paid the price and gave it to me as a free gift. All I got to do is believe. You know, I mean, Dave stresses that to you every time we do communion. He stresses you, all you got to do your part is believe.
Amen.
Believe, and it's a done deal. And I just stand in awe. But anyway, we've had some wonderful things happen this week, as every week. And we had a special, what did you do with the bike? Oh, right there. Would you turn that on for me, please? We had a team of folks that went from here down toward Houston this last week and to the Woodlands, and just continuing on with this little thing. You know, I really don't even know who come up with the beginning of this. I guess it was Bill, I guess. I don't know how we got started with the Psalm 91 heroes. I don't know what happened, but I know that we got started. And Bill, Psalm 91 is one of the favorite verses of this church. I mean, you know, everybody here, some of you had never heard of Psalm 91 till you come here. And we talk about Psalm 91 often. Sometimes we teach on the whole thing for service, all the verses. It's a very powerful verse. So I think it was Bill, he got started on this somehow. He was going to he wanted the men that's in the military and the men that's in the police department. We have far too many men die. And somehow we come up with this idea that, you know, that we read, it was like in Psalms 91 about the 91st Battalion way back in World War I, where that those men went through that entire war, and somebody prayed Psalm 91 over that entire battalion every day, and for the whole length of the whole war, not one single man in that battalion was injured or lost their life. So I think Bill is the one that finally decided if that Psalm 91 will work for those boys, then back way back yonder, it ought to work for us today.
Yeah.
And so him and several others here in the church have started out delivering these things. And this thing has just now gone crazy. I mean, it has gone crazy, crazy, crazy. And I want Bill, and Betty, if you want to come up too, and Jeff went down there, so I want Jeff and Bill and Betty, I want y'all to come up and we'll give you the mic. We only got one mic. But I want y'all to tell us what God did and some of the things y'all see. I'm just going to turn the whole thing over to all of y'all right now and just let y'all do something good for Jesus. It's yours and Jeff's and Betty's right now, so y'all just do whatever you want to do. I'm just standing here and watch. Let me get out of the way. That's what I'm trying to say.
Normally, I would not wear my hat in church, but this is part of it. This is kind of the last part we did before we left town, was to have a couple of three hats made. So Jeff's got one, Betty's got one, and I've got one. But I feel guilty wearing a hat in church, so I'm going to put it over there. And let me tell you, excitement is not the word. There's not the word. It was an enjoyment, such a fulfilling, such a blessing. I can't find the words to explain to y'all how much I want to first thank the Lord. for what he did. It was his idea, not Bill's idea, incidentally. And this is the next thing I want to let you know. When I brought this little message by that the Lord had given me an answer to a prayer that I prayed out loud, when I asked him one day, God, what can I do? Which is something any of you can do. Well, he answered me very quickly, Psalm 91. Well, I'd heard about Psalm 91, and I picked up my Gideon Bible and read it, and I realized that it was a significant promise of God's to protect people. There's a couple of ifs in there, some conditions in there, but it's easy to meet those, particularly if you're a Christian. If you're not, there's a verse or two at the bottom of Psalm 91 that will talk to you about God and his salvation. Well, that resonates with those of us that want people that don't know the Lord to have that salvation, and we're finding out the more and more we talk about it, that if people don't know the Lord, when they get into trouble, they're very quick to want him because they know that they'll cry out. They're like somebody said, there's no atheist in foxholes. Well, I've never been in the service, and I don't know that literally, but I've heard it repeated. Now, back to the trip, or to bring you up to where we are, and one little minor correction, too. This was not a battalion. That was a brigade. A brigade is made up of three, four, five battalions. A battalion could be 400 or 500 people. So when that commander of that 91st Brigade had cards for every man, he had it for a lot of people. I don't know where he got his cards printed 100 years ago, but they could do it. And incidentally, last week was 100 years since we had World War I. But that 91st Psalm actually was written and sent by David 400 years before Jesus. Keep that in mind, that Psalm and that promise was acted upon before the Lord, actually, our Lord Jesus, was here on earth incarnate. Now, when I asked that question, the next thing was, what can I do? I went to FedEx and I had a card generated. Now, y'all have seen the cards around here. I don't have one in my hand now. Okay, get me one of those, please. And people make mistakes sometimes. Guess what happened? I had this printed out. I had 1,000 of them. And somehow or another, I left off the last part of the last verse. And it said, and show him my salvation. Can you imagine that? Well, I got that corrected. It came to me kind of in an embarrassing way, but I'm not going to go into that. And these cards are printed accurately. On one side is a narrative about the soldier's psalm, and it is a soldier's psalm. We've never had any objection to these cards. I don't know. I haven't had an adverse remark about any of them. So the net effect was my concern over the fallen officers last year was 135 officers that died, fallen police officers. And that was the morning that I saw two police officers talking across their cars to each other. And I cried out to God, what can I do, Lord? They're sitting ducks. Anybody can shoot them. Well, these cards resulted, and then these cards went pretty fast. And I decided, well, I'd take them to the Bedford police. They needed 95. They got 95 cards, and I had to go back and give them corrected cards. And then I did the same thing with Grapevine Police. They had 120, and I thought, you know, this thing is catching on. I believe this is going to fly. Got great reception. I didn't go through the chiefs. I just went to the dispatcher and asked who I could see and talk to, and it was very, very simple. Of course, God opened the doors for all of this, has he not?
Amen.
He does. He's the way maker for any of us. And before I go any farther and tell you about our trip real quick, and I'll do as quick as I can on part of it, and Jeff and Betty are going to talk. But I want you to know that when God put this thing on our heart to do this, he made a way, and he's expanding it. But you know what's beautiful about it? As I was telling Thurman this morning, I was reading in the Word, according to Luke 8:11, it says, the seed is the Word. Now, these are seeds. Each one of you that takes one of these cards, look at it like it's a bag of seeds. to get more, two cards is more seeds. When you plant this in the hands of any living soul, you have started a harvest. We're all little farmers, so to speak, right?
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Okay, well, I'll think about it. And then this is getting into the thousands. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm to receive, we ordered 50,000 cards. That's a lot of cards. And a book of 2,200, I mean, a box of 2,200 weighs 33 pounds. There's going to be a lot of weight. And thank you, Cheryl, for that little dolly that you got me. I love it. We used it down there in Houston, or the Woodlands. Well, I'm going to get on into the trip. As it went on, we got connected through some of the police departments and found out that there was a Texas police, Chief Police Association, going to have a conference in the Woodlands at the Marriott Hotel this last Tuesday and Wednesday. We got on the phone, made arrangements. Cheryl did a lot of it for me. She helped me, as all of you have. And we were able to go down there Tuesday morning. It was raining. I'm going to say cats and dogs. It was all water. But it was really rough. I mean, it was coming down so hard you could hardly see two or three car lengths in front of us. And we talked to Jeff, and he was ahead of us. I don't know how he did that, but he was ahead of us anyway. And I want you to know that the Lord delivered us safely, took good care of us, put us down there. We got in our hotels and checked in, and we met Jeff, Betty, and I. We set up our table. We set up our booth. We had placards for three easels, and the placards were 30 by 50 inches, something like that. They got there, but the easel stayed home in the garage. Yeah, so I had to go to Hobby Lobby and buy three more, and I did. Okay, now Jeff is really good. He's helped set that booth up as quick as you ever saw, and he got that thing ready to go, and by Tuesday night, we were finished. We had it all taken care of, and I think that I've got some more to say, maybe a little bit, but I want to turn this thing over to Betty to make a statement before Jeff says anything about her part in this, and she really caught on to it. Tell him.
Thank you, Lord, and thank you all. One of the things that was so exciting, too, was we didn't get to get the booth that we thought we were going to get, but guess where our booth was? Right next to the restroom. And as people were coming by, I had a handful of cards, and what I did was I'd reach out and I'd say, "Do you have your Psalm 91 card?" And they'd come over and they'd say, thank y'all so much for being here. And it was just, I mean, our hearts just overflowed. I mean, and I guess it showed because so many people would come and just kept saying, thank y'all for being here. It was great.
Praise the Lord.
Before Jeff says something, I want you to know the reason I had Jeff go with him, you got to remember, look at Bill and me. We're not exactly young guys. So we need somebody that's able to push that card and really can do some good things. So we needed somebody that knew what he was doing. So I thought Jeff would really make a good one to help out. And boy, did he ever. Okay, I'll tell him what the Lord did, Jeff.
It was just a wonderful experience. Any time that you're getting to connect with people and love them with the love of the Lord, it's amazing. But one of the things for police officers is if you're concerned about their safety, that goes another level for them. And so, in other words, if I said to an officer, "Listen, I'm concerned about your soul. Do you know Jesus?" That's a good thing, and we should all do that. But to say, "Listen, I'm concerned about your safety too. And, you know, what can I do? Or here's something that we can do." And, you know, the Lord specifically put on Bill's heart Psalm 91. So we're trying to get in every officer's hands, starting out in Texas, and then across the U.S., and then eventually in the military as well, a Psalm 91 card. And the Lord just opened doors. There are 3,200 chiefs of police in Texas. And so we are talking to, you know, leaders of leaders. And we had a chance, great chance, to pray for some of them. A gentleman that is one of the heads of the association stood at our table for just so long. and wept more than once as he's talking to Bill. And we had a chance to pray with him, pray with his wife, and some neat opportunities in that regard for the Lord just open doors. But let me encourage you guys as well to get some of these cards. And anytime you see an officer, you know, don't rush their car, but if you see an officer, but hold it in your hand and go up and give it to them, and then get their name and start praying for that officer. Lord, I planted a seed, and the officer's name was whatever he told you his name was or her name was, and begin to pray for them on a regular basis. Because some of the people that Bill had already gone to some of their offices, they said, yeah, we saw them, they were in our mailbox, or we saw them. The one guy said, yeah, I carry it in my cruiser, you know, carries it in his police car all the time. Those are the kind of seeds that, you know, again, are affecting leaders. They have contact with all kinds of different people. And for some of them, we had encouraged them, and I know the Lord's going to do more of this, for the officers themselves to take more than one with them. Because there are occasions for them, for the ones that are Christians that know the Lord, to be able to give them out to someone else. So again, we had a wonderful time. The Lord opened doors, and we could talk for a long, long time, but I'm going to go ahead and hand it back.
Okay. He's right about it. And everything that he said is, and I want to just say that we were able to then, we had address cards that people could, the chief police could address, so we could mail to them what they needed, which will help us a lot, because it's hard for one person or two to get to all these different stations all over. If you go clear to El Paso and down to Lampasas, and there's a lot of towns that take a lot of driving just to get maybe 300 or 400 cars distributed. But I wanted to say that the benefit of this, look upon yourselves as an extension to this. Once more, I want to give you the most important part to remember. You may say, well, I've only handed out 5 or 10 or 15 cards. You remember the little story in the Bible when Jesus talked about the man that paid the worker early in the morning, and then one comes along later and he got the same pay? At the end of the day, they all got paid the same. Well, there's a little bit of a discussion about that, but the net effect is we're no different today. And what the Lord told me and what I'm doing, you may say, well, boy, Bill's going to really reap a harvest when he gets to heaven. No. Everybody that's touched this is equal about what they're going to get in heaven. I'm smart enough to know that through the Word. God's no respecter of persons. Look who he picked. I mean, you know, so any of us, children, it doesn't make any difference who gets this card and passes God's Word. That's more important today than anything we're doing. And I'm in the Gideons, and we hand out a million almost every seven Bibles every 7 days around the world. And that's a lot of Bibles. A lot of the Small Testaments, and incidentally, we gave out a lot of Gideon Bibles there at the table too. We had some on there, and the police chiefs wanted those. But look upon this card. These cards will be looked at actually more than Gideon Bibles, because so often people get those and they'll put them on the shelf somewhere, or they'll read part of them, or years later they'll read them. So I want you to realize it is vitally important to get this word out to everybody in these days, because I think we're in the end times, and I think we've all talked about that, and you'll all agree. But more than that, we need the protection. Now, I did hear this morning in one church, a little church we go to down here on Beach Street in Fort Worth. A man walked up to me, and I gave him one. He said, do you know, I know of a church that has prayed this every Sunday, like every one of us would recite these 16 verses. He said, you know, they never had any sickness in that church the whole time that they were using this card. And then they stopped using it for a while. And people were starting to get sick, different kind of ailments. They went back to the promises on the 91st Psalm, and everything cleared up again. I really think God, I call it, this is one of his favorite promises of protection. And I want everybody to know that. Well, keep us in your prayers, and my prayers are back to you for helping us. I know that now people have caught on and they're calling in and they wanted so many cards. I've got a list that long now of, well, I got at least 50 to 60 people that I've got to send cards to starting tomorrow when my shipment gets in. So it's getting exciting. And it just can't get any, I want to say it just can't get any better, but it's getting better all the time.
How many total have we given out?
Thanks, Cheryl. I missed that. I've given out close to 18,000 cards. 18,000. Got some up here. And what we want to do up here is keep a supply here at the church, and we'll keep it here until it goes out. And then it's over there. I just judging from looking, there's probably 1,000 cards there. But when these cards are gone, I'll bring another box. I think this ought to be our hub station for people that can come here and know there's going to be these cards here when they come up on a Sunday or a Saturday healing times, you know. And so that's my job, is to keep these over here. And so as long as I'm walking around on the terra firma, I want somebody to know they can keep these cards, come get these cards. And if I go all out of here, then somebody's going to take my place from in here, I'm sure. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Betty thinks this is kind of important, and she's right. The lieutenant who's under the chief in Houston came up to the booth. Also on his card, it says that he's an attorney as well as a lieutenant. He said, "I can't let you bring 5,500 out to us, even though we've got that many people." I said, "Why?" He said, "We've got to work through the chaplain." And he said, "This is the reason." He said, "We are being sued right now by the freedom of religion or something.
Freedom from religion.
Freedom from religion. That was it. Freedom from religion. Religion." And he said, "We know that we're on the right side of this lawsuit. However, we don't know who all that might be in our whole organization that would side in with some of them, as this would be more evidence that we're trying to push it in that direction that might hurt our case." So he said, "Let me have the chaplain get in touch with you on this, and we'll talk about it." But he said, "I'll take 200 cards right now." So he said, that means they want them. They want all of them, but they've got to be careful how they handle it. So we're into those days. We got to be a little bit wise, you know. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay.
Amen.
I think that's about it then. Thank you for the time.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, guys. That's really something to think about. You know, if you think you're going to start doing something good for anybody and there's not going to be an adversary, you got another thing coming. I mean, why do you think God put us here on this earth and made the system like he did? He's training his people to be overcomers.
Amen.
And that's the whole thing. So, you know, when you see these kind of things, just think, you would think anybody in their right mind, I mean, anybody, if I were to tell you, if I hand you this little card, if you will just read this card just one time a day for the rest of your life, God, I guarantee, will give you a long life and you'll be healthy.
Yeah.
You won't never have to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Now, would anybody in their right mind turn me down?
No.
But if your mind is blinded by the God of this world to the truth, then he can do that. But just think, that psalm, in Psalm 91, is such a powerful psalm. In fact, Cheryl, honey, would you mind reading that? Read Psalm 91 slowly, and in fact, you can put it on the board if you want to. Yeah, put it on the board, and I want you just to see, as Cheryl reads Psalm 91 slowly, I want you to look at Psalm 91, and I don't care what translation you put it up there, King James, NLT, I don't care.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Now, if you were listening, you picked up as we went through of all the things that I said. You know, if you're dwelling with the Lord and you're saying these things, you see there where he's going to protect you. He's going to protect you from the noisome and pestilence. Now, a lot of people don't know what that is. So if you need to read it in a NLT or something, it says he will deliver you from all kinds of sickness and disease. Sickness and disease, noisome pestilence, we may not understand. But sickness and disease, we know that, don't we?
Yep.
That's the words that we speak in. And just like that Psalm 91:15, where he says, I will satisfy you with long life. Everybody says, oh, gee, I don't know whether I live to be 50 or not. And I've seen guys, I mean, men in the workplace that was 40 and 50 years old, and they can't wait till 60 so they can retire because they don't think they're going to live that long. But you ask them, do you want to live that long? Well, of course. Then what are you doing? Well, I'm doing the best I can to take care of myself. I eat right. I exercise right. I try to sleep right. But how about your spiritual life? Are you doing anything with Jesus? No. Then, you know, it's amazing when you see men that are 40 or 50 years old that are not putting God first. And I've seen them at 30 years of age die suddenly. But you look at a man that's putting this verse to his heart and reading that verse every day. What does that verse say he'll do for you? With long life will I satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation. Do we love long, healthy life?
Yes,
yes, I love long, healthy life. I don't even want to have to put that in my vocabulary, that I might die early. Because I definitely don't plan on dying early. I plan on living a long, healthy, good life because I have made the Lord my God, and he's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my healer, he's my deliverer. I love it to be able to think, I went to war. I've been there. My mother told me my dad never prayed as much in his life as he did when I was in Vietnam. He said, son, when you were in Vietnam, your daddy prayed. I never seen him pray so much in my life as he did when you were overseas in Vietnam. Dad was so afraid he was going to lose the only boy he had, me. And he didn't want to lose me, so he prayed for me regularly, maybe every day. I don't know how many. But did it pay good dividends?
Yes.
Did I come back without a scratch?
Yes.
Yes, I came back without a scratch. Now, some of the men that I went over there with wasn't quite so fortunate. Several of my friends died. I mean, men and boys even from my own hometown that I knew, they got killed. One of the men that I knew was a good friend of mine, 1 year older than me. When we went to Vietnam, he was over there 2 weeks and on a patrol, got killed. He'd only been over there 2 weeks and got killed. Somebody needed to be praying Psalms 91. Or somebody needed to give him a copy of Psalms 91 and he needed to read that every day. But he didn't know that. I didn't know that back in those days either. But my daddy knew that at least praying he could get through to God.
Yes.
And thank God that I had a daddy that prayed.
Yes.
You know, because he made my life wonderful and I didn't even realize that's what was going on. But many years later, now I know and can see why things happen like they do. Just like that story that Bill read you there a while ago. I don't know how many men there was in that brigade or battalion or whatever they call that, but hundreds of them anyway, hundreds, and not one single one of those men were injured. Not one. But I stand in awe of what's available to us from God's Word. But I think about all the years I didn't know anything about what Jesus... This day that we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best decorated, celebrated event in history, that He died and arose on the third day. Now, I'm completely in agreement with Jeff. Jeff and Dave both. I didn't hear Jeff make the statement, but Dave, I heard Dave make a statement. He didn't die on Friday. He died on Wednesday, because if Jesus says, I will be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, then He had to die on Wednesday and not on Friday, because if He died on Friday, there ain't no way you can die at 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon and get awake Sunday morning at six and be 3 days and three nights. That can't happen. I don't understand. I was talking to a young man this week about this, and he said, well, that makes good sense. He said, you know, I always wondered why they said for Good Friday. And he said, 3 days and three nights. And he said, there ain't no way. He said, I can't get 3 days and three nights out of that. And I said, and nobody else can either. But it's amazing how the enemy has deceived us.
Yep.
I mean, he really has deceived us. That's why you need to study. You need to get in there and see what God's Word says. And just think, those wonderful things that Cheryl read. If you do not have a Psalm 91 card, you make sure you get one, and you make sure you put it in your billfold, put it in your purse, put it in your shirt pocket. Do something with it, but read that psalm over you and your children, your wife and your children, every day.
Amen.
Now then, if you will do that, now see, we're looking to see this happen, just like that 91st Brigade. All those men went to war and fought all those years, and not one single loss of life, not even one single injury. And then you heard the story about, Bill was telling you about some town here somewhere where they were praying, and I think somebody just told him that lately, right, Bill? This morning. About how men can stand on God's Word and not get injured. Even, in fact, I remember, now that you've mentioned that, I remember years ago in a church I was in, there was a man that started praying every day for the entire congregation. And they started noticing that all the sick people that went to that church, there was no more sick people. That was just amazing. And so one day the pastor asked the guy, I said, why do you pray for this bunch every day? And he said, well, I found out that the Lord promised me that if I would pray for them, they wouldn't be sick. Now, I don't know where he got that, but it could have been from Psalms 91. Because it's written right there in Psalms 91. And so anyway, the pastor said, well, I'll tell you what, you really think your prayers is changing the people in this church? He said, yes, I really believe that since I'm praying every day and there's no sickness, that this is a supernatural thing. The pastor said, I really think it's just a phenomenon. It's not real. You know, it's just a coincidence, you know, that because you pray. So he said, why don't you stop praying for a month and let's see what happens? And so he said, okay. To prove a point. So the man, the deacon, the Baptist guy, whatever, he stopped praying. And it wasn't but 5 or 6 days till all of a sudden the pastor called him and said, go back to praying.
Hallelujah.
He said, there's people getting sick in the church that wasn't sick. And all of a sudden something had happened, so go back to praying.
Yeah.
Now then, that's why many times I've told you all this, many times, and I hope some of you are doing it, that you'll walk in love with everybody, and you'll take this verse or this card, and over you and your family. Now, you really can't control everything happens with everybody else, but yourself, every husband, every father has control over his family if he's walking in love with his wife and his children. And so he's the spiritual head. And I can guarantee you from God's Word, if you will read Psalms 91 over you and your wife, and you'll believe it, because we just read it. Cheryl just read all 16 verses of Psalm 91. How long did it take her to do that? Maybe a couple of minutes or three, whatever. I mean, that's not going to ruin your day, is it?
No.
2 or 3 minutes a day to read Psalms 91, especially if you start having no sickness with you, and you're having no sickness with your wife, no sickness with your children, and they and nobody does any damage to them, they're not harmed, they go to school, and there's no harm whatsoever. With these weapons that we got, we should be able to do great and mighty things, and people see it. And when they see that there's no harm coming to you, Ms. Jackie, or your children, you know, I mean, they're going to say, now, wait a minute, girl. What are you doing?
Psalm 91.
Oh, I'm reading Psalm 91. Oh, that old Bible, that old thing, you know that don't count for nothing. So let's stop praying and stop using that old Bible and see what happens. And a few days later, everybody called and said, hey, we need to get back on the Bible. Because it does work. It works because the King of Kings is truly the King of Kings. Whether we believe it or not, He is God, isn't He, Bill? He is the Lord. I mean, one of the things that Bill didn't tell you there a while ago, I thought was kind of unique. When he first started this, and they first went out to give out a handful of cards, like 4 to this police station or 8 to this police station or whatever, every time he reached over and got a little group of cards, there was exactly the right number of cards. That's for police officers. Something like that, right, Bill?
One of the officers picked up the cards off of our desk before we got there, and he had got a little handful. He went back to his desk because he thought, you know, I need to give these out to my cadets under his training. Now, he's training them right now. He's one of the chiefs. He counted the cards. He has 23 cadets. He had 23 cards. Now, that happened to me 4 times when we went on our little trip. Betty and I went on our trip around West Texas and up through Amarillo and Lubbock and Wichita Falls and came back. It happened 2 times in Sweetwater with the DPS and the sheriffs, and then it happened in plain view at the police department, and it happened in Vernon, and I know the count on each one. The first one was that we gave, well, it was the exact count, was 15 cards. The second one was 35. The third one in plain view was 34. The one in Vernon was 18. Those will stick with me because I thought, if God's in this, after the second time, that's not going to happen again. It happened, and it happened, and it happened. And then this is the 5th time that he just talked about down there. And you know what? I'm not too sure that there's somebody in here that's going to pick up some cards and have the exact number without knowing how many they're going to need at the other end. Give that some. If the Lord's not in that under the law of probability, I don't know how you figure it out.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Remember, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what did he charge us for this? He gave it to us for free. Now, you can't get any better than that. Everything on Psalm 91 is free. He didn't charge you a thing. He's not going to charge you a thing. Salvation is free. And if you will just read it, that's all you got to do is read it and believe. Read the card and, you know, and believe what it says. Now, of course, when I was about 35 years old, I learned that if I would confess, what I would confess would work for me as from the Word of God. And so I began to really get a hold of the Scriptures and what it said, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what He done for me and you on that cross. I believed if he could die for me, and then he could be raised from the dead 3 days later, he had something that I needed. And it was a whole lot bigger than me. Because up until this time, I have never, ever, ever seen a man that can die and resurrect himself from the dead. All the rest of them are dead. All these gods that we have that are all over the world that are everywhere, the one thing, when their leader dies, he's still there. There's never an empty tomb. But with Jesus, boy, boy, when he died on that cross for you and me, and praise the Lord, he suffered what he did, and then he raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we are We are here today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. He is alive, and these promises that He made us, they are for us. They are for the church, the believers in Jesus. If you want to live a good, healthy life, just think, if you'll just obey Him and do what He says, and all you got to do it is read that Psalm 91 every day. Now, you know what, if it does that kind of good, what would be maybe even better if you read it in the morning and at noon and in the evening? Amen. You think that three times a day, you might overdose on that, Miss Carrie? If I could overdose, I'd love to overdose on Psalm 91, wouldn't you? I think, yes, Bill?
I don't need the mic for this. If be sure and remember, it's got a website. If you go there, there's about five different categories, and you hit on the one video, you'll hear a real good testimony about 91 from the pastor, and you'll also hear a real good talk from Mike and from, was it Adrian was on that day?
Yes.
And from Adrian. So, it's good to go to the website, and if you have anybody you give these to, tell them about the website, because that way they can be sure to see how they can, if they want to order more cards, they can, and whatever, okay?
Yeah, Psalm91Heroes.org, right? Psalm91Heroes.org.
It's at the bottom of every card.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the card also, so. Can you imagine that what would happen? And I've told some of y'all that everybody hadn't been here every Sunday and they didn't hear this, but when I was working as an engineer, I was the head engineer down here for the airport, DFW airport. After they moved me in there as manager, the first thing I started doing was praying over my men. I had 35 men that worked for me there at the airport, and I prayed over those men every morning. For a long time there, with the radio that I had, I would key my mic when I would get within a mile or two of the place, and I would pray a Psalm, not Psalm 91, but a protection word of God over my men. I'd ask the Lord to bless the company and bless my men, give them knowledge and wisdom to do their job, and nobody to get injured or hurt today. Nobody. So one day, after a couple of years, maybe 3 years, corporate headquarters came to me and says, "What plan are you using to prevent your people from getting hurt?" He said, "We have all kinds of programs that people use, but," he said, "we've noticed your division is usually the most prone to get hurt and to get injuries, but you have no injuries. So what do you do?" I said, "I pray the protection of the Word of God over my men every day." "You pray?" "Yes. Don't you know that's illegal?" I said, "Well, I don't know that it's illegal to pray. I still live in America. You know, and America's a place I can pray." And they said, "Well, you're going to have to stop praying over these men." Now, then here we find something that works. And they don't want you to do it no more. So I say, "Well, you know, I'm going to continue to pray for my men." I said, "I don't have to pray for them on the premises." I said, "When I go get in my truck and I drive off of these premises, I can do anything I want to do because I'm on public property." Is that true? So if I want to pray, and I did, I prayed. In fact, one day, just to show you what kind of things God will do, we were out there, and the two of the best mechanics I had was trying to fix a piece of equipment, and they couldn't get it to work. And I walked out there, and they'd been working on this thing for hours. And I said, "Boys, what's wrong?" And they said, "Oh, Thurman, we can't find what's wrong with this piece of equipment. We've been working on this thing for hours." I said, "Have you guys prayed?" "That's what we done wrong." They looked at each other and said, "We didn't pray." "You know he's taught us to pray over everything. We didn't pray." So they stopped. Both men took off their hats and got down on their knees, laid their hat on the floor and said, "Father, in Jesus' name, show us how to fix this piece of equipment. Thank you, Lord." And I guarantee it wasn't 5 minutes later that piece of equipment was working. When if God tells us to pray over something, then what is wrong with us? You know, it's like we enjoy being tormented. I mean, it looks like that sometimes, doesn't it? You know, oh, that's okay, God. I don't need your help. I can do this all by myself. That's crazy. You know, that's just like the time when I walked in down there that morning, and the VP, he met me at the front, and he said, Thurman, the boilers have been down since 2 o'clock this morning. He said, you've got to go down there and see what's wrong with them things. I said, okay. So I run down there, and when I got there, Dan and Neil, I said, what's wrong, guys? And they said, Thurman, we've never seen a boiler carry over like this, but something's wrong. The water, it goes away in about 5 or 10 minutes, and the boilers go off on low water, and we can't keep it online. I just stopped, and I held up my hand, and I screamed, Father, in the name of Jesus, my company is down, and you said I could ask for anything, so I'm asking you to tell me what's wrong with these boilers so we can fix them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. Just like that, he said, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. I heard him speak to me just in one heartbeat. I said, Dan and Neil, break those condensate lines coming in from the building. I let that water run on the floor. He said, what are you talking about? I said, don't ask me no questions right now. Just do what I tell you. And so, now, see, that's what God wants. When he tells you to do something,
do it.
If you're looking for a job and you walk into a ministry and they have one opening and you say, okay, I need a job. Can you put me to work? I sure do need a job. Yeah, sure, we need some help. We'll put you right to work. The guy said, well, I'm going to go home and pray about it for 3 days, and then I'll come back and see if God wants me to work here. That job ain't going to be there when you come back. You don't have to pray about everything. You pray about before you went in there, Lord, I need a job.
Yeah.
And when you walk in there, the guy says, yeah, we'll put you to work right now. Well, go to work. Yeah, but it's amazing that when we got that back online, when we got that boilers back on the line, after I explained to the boys what was going on, it didn't take them long to fix the problem. And we got everything back right. Well, I went walking up to the front within less than an hour. I went walking up there, and the VP standing there, he said, Thurman, I understand you already got it fixed. How did you do that so quick? His name was Pepe Pinto. That was the VP's name, Pepe Pinto. I said, Pepe, I just asked the Lord what was wrong, and he showed me. He said, are you trying to tell me you asked God? I said, yes, sir, I did. And he told me what the problem was. And I said, and we fixed it. He said, you sound like my mother. He said, my mother's always trying to talk to me about this Jesus guy. I said, well, you got a good mother.
Amen.
A really good mother.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that I could do those things because I knew the King of Kings had resurrected from the dead. I knew he was alive and well then. I just like today, if there's anything that I have no doubt in my heart about, the King is the King, is the King, is the King, and he's alive, and he's in well, and he's my Lord, he's my God, he's my Savior, he's my healer, he's my divine, he's my everything, and I want you to know you'll never shut me up. You can cut my head off, and with that last drop of blood is falling out, I'll still be glorifying the King as I go down. Like I've said before, I've told this story a couple of times. I said, you know, Muslims want to cut our head off. I said, if they ever get me and Cheryl and they want to cut our head off, I'm going to tell them, okay, ladies first. You take Cheryl first. And I said, they're going to cut her head off. And when they use the guillotine and cut her head off, and I run over there and grab her head in the basket, I pick up that beautiful hair and set it down on her body and said, breathe in the name of Jesus. And she said, thanks, honey, I needed that. Do we have that kind of power as sons of God? We do if we believe. Just like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as they were walking away, after Jesus arose from the dead, and just think, these men had been walking with him for 30 years. I mean, not at least 3 years, but he'd been here for 33 years. 33 years. And Jesus, everybody knew him. And it says, and now then after the resurrection, many of the Old Testament saints came forth from the dead. Many, the first resurrection, these people came forth and walked in the streets. Simeon, which had just died,
Can you imagine that? Somebody, Scott here, he's out mowing a yard. And he comes in and said, Simeon, I just saw you was buried only a few weeks ago. What happened? Oh, he said, yeah, man, I've been in a great place, but I'm resurrected from the dead now because of what Jesus did. Yeah. Wow, can you imagine that? And then it says, and many of them believed in him, but some doubted. Now, is that sad?
Very sad.
Let's don't have to go that far. I mean, I see what he does. I've heard his voice. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him do awesome miracles. I know he's alive.
Amen.
You don't have to ask me twice. I know he's alive. And if somebody says, that's just like that one man over in Louisville, when his wife joined Lakeland Baptist Church, and I went to see them, and I told her, I said, where's your husband? She said, oh, he don't believe. I said, well, give me your address, and I'll go over there and talk to him. She said, Thurman, you'll just drive him further away. I said, yeah, I can't drive him no further away. If the guy's lost, he's going to hell, you know, and they can't drive him no further. You know, so that's a lie of the devil. So I said, I'll go over there and talk to him. So anyway, I went several times. I'd go over and I'd talk to him. His name was Tim, just like my son. And so I went over there, and him and his wife had four or five beautiful kids. And I walked up to the front door, and I told him, I said, you know, I come over here to talk to you about Jesus. He said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. I said, but God lives, sir. I said, he loves you, and he wants you to accept him as Lord and Savior. It's real simple. He said, no, I ain't going to do it. I don't believe. Okay, so a few weeks later, I went by to see him again. When I come in, he said, you come by to see my wife? I said, no, I'll come by to see you. I want you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Finally, he told me one day, I think the third or fourth or fifth time I went by there, he literally grabbed me by the shirt and pulled me up to him and said, if you ever come over here again to try to tell me about Jesus, I'm going to punch your lights out with this fist. You see that? I said, sir, the only reason I come is because I love you.
Amen.
I love you, and I know that when you die, you're going to go to hell, and you're not going to ever get to know your wife and kids anymore. This is all you're going to get to enjoy. And I had tears in my eyes. It wasn't because I was hurt. I was bigger than he was, so it wasn't a big deal there. That's not never been a problem with me. You can hurt me, you can beat me up, it don't make no difference. But when I told him, I did it because I loved him. He fell apart. He fell on his knees, and he said, you're the only sincere Christian man I've ever run into in my life. Nobody else would ever come back more than once. They come here one time, and I tell them to leave and don't ever come back. He said, they never come back. But he said, you don't give up. I said, I don't give up because I know the consequences of not knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. So that man accepted Jesus Christ right there as his Lord and Savior. Got him saved. He started coming to church. And after about 6 or 8 months, maybe a year, he was a deacon. He became a deacon in the Baptist church. Totally changed his life. And one day, me and him, he said, Thurman, you going visiting this week? I said, yeah. There was a couple of people that came to the church Sunday. I'm going to go by and see them Tuesday afternoon. He says, come by and get me. And I live right on the way home to his house. He said, I want to go with you. I said, okay. So I stopped by there and got him. And, you know, we're laughing, cutting up. And we went by to see this guy. And when we got there, and stepped up on the porch, and I asked for whoever was on the card, and the guy says, those people, they'd moved out last week and said they don't live here anymore. I said, well, son, we come by to talk to them about Jesus because they come to church. I said, do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. He said, I don't want to talk about this. I said, well, you know, son, Jesus loves you. I said, he wants to invite you to come into his kingdom. He said, no, I got to go. Y'all leave. I got things I got to do. And he just backed off and shut the door. When he shut the door, Tim, he looked around at me and said, Thurman, just a couple of years ago, that guy was me. He said, you didn't give up on him. And now I'm a deacon in a Baptist church, and I love my wife and my kids. He said, I'm telling you what, we're coming back to see this boy. We're not going to give up. And we did not. We went by to see that boy 2 or 3 times. That just goes to show you, you take a man that thinks he's got the world under control, when he finds out without Jesus, he ain't nothing. How many of you in here believe that without Jesus, you're nothing? You can't do nothing without him. You can't even really take a breath. Every breath you breathe, he's giving it to you, hadn't he, Tony? You know, this week, And we talk about this often in this church. We do what we do because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that he is God, that he loves us, and he put up with the nonsense.
Yep.
Because we've all been a little hard to get along with, hadn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little hard to get along with. Everybody except Cheryl. You know, Cheryl, she never has any problems. I get so tickled at Cheryl whenever we first got married. She said, you know, God has put you with the worst sinner in the church. I told her, I said, no, honey.
I said, biggest sinner. I wasn't the worst.
Oh, the biggest what? The biggest sinner in the church. I told her, I said, no, that's not true. I ministered to all these people, and some of them got sins as big as yours. And God still heals them. You know that?
Yes.
I know Kim probably didn't have a sin in her life when she got healed in her back. Oh my goodness gracious!
He was the biggest sinner.
But he changed your life, didn't he?
Yes.
When he healed Cheryl and he healed Kim and so many of you, as I was sitting back there watching some of y'all come in today, I was thinking about those of you that have been healed at this ministry.
Amen.
And how good God is, isn't he awesome?
Amen.
How many of you have been healed through this ministry?
Amen.
Wow! Thank you, Jesus. Wow! God is so good. And some of you have been healed with serious injuries or serious problems. But God is the real King of Kings. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what anybody says. Thurman Scrivener didn't heal a one of you. It was my God, my King, the one that raised from the dead, right? He's the one that does it all. There's nothing impossible with him. He loves you. He wants to do great things for you. He wants to see you love him and love his people. That's all he wants, if you'll just walk in love. Now that Psalm 91 won't work for you if you don't believe. If you don't believe it'll work, it won't work. So you need to believe. When you read that, say, Lord, I believe this is your word. I believe this will work. Because when I started believing that God would heal me way back yonder just by quoting Romans 10, 8, and 9, I got healed and for 35 years didn't have to go to a doctor. 35 years. No doctor. Wow. Is that great?
Yes.
It is great. Praise the Lord. Wow. Because he lives.
Amen.
Because he lives, we do what we do because he lives. He's died, rose again on the third day, and he's alive and well right now. And he is there for you, and all you got to do is just believe. The hard part is just all you got to do is believe. He doesn't ask you to go out and be able to do a double backflip every morning. And he says, if you fail to read Psalms 91 once in a while, I won't cut you off. But he said, read it every day. If it works that good, I think we ought to read it every day. I need to start reading Psalms 91. In fact, the other day, my computer messed up. I was trying to listen to something. I had to call Dave in there, and he had to get it back online for me. It had messed up where I couldn't get Psalm 91 on the thing. And after it happened, I told the devil, I said, Devil, I am so upset at you because I had to go to all that trouble to get Dave to come back here. I said, now I'm going to listen to Psalm 91 15 times just to get even with you. So I said, don't mess with me no more. Next time I'll listen to it 50 times. Now then, can I overdose on Psalm 91?
No,
you can't overdose on Psalm 91. So the more you read it, the more powerful it becomes in your life. If every one of us in this church, if we all knew Psalm 91 by heart, I can guarantee you, you'd quote it every day, and you would have absolutely no problems, no injuries. He'd have sent his angels to give them charge over you. He would help you. And your life would totally change if you just used Psalm 91. Wow. Is God awesome?
Awesome.
We love you, Lord. Father, I thank you and praise you because you are the King of Kings. And Lord, we're going to take communion now. We want to take that communion because of what you did on that cross. You paid the price. It was your blood and your body and everything that's made it where we can do these things. So Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get our communion stuff out. We'll take that communion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we normally only take communion on the first Sunday of the month. But since this is Resurrection Day, we thought this would be nice to have Resurrection Communion. Don't you?
Amen.
Never had been a better day than this one. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Wow. You know, when you think about what you have in Christ, wow, I love having, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Wow, is that that? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My friend Chris couldn't be here today, but she bought several copies of the movie The War Room. So if anybody would like it for people who are going to get married or they're having marital trouble, I was supposed to bring them this morning, but I left them on the counter. But next week I'll bring them. So I just want everybody to know to get with me or Chris.
Where do these come from?
Chris bought them. Chris Renierson, my little blonde friend.
Oh, okay. Who made them?
It's the one where the lady opens the prayer room.
Okay.
She bought I got at least 10 of them.
Okay.
So we want to give them away next week.
Okay, very good. Okay. What, honey?
They want to give them away to anybody that's having marital problems.
Oh, well, nobody in the world has marital problems. Do they? Let me tell you.
If you know somebody getting married, that would be a good way to give.
Yes, I will have to say that, boy, I'm telling you, do people, because they don't know Jesus. I mean, they may be Christians, because Cheryl and I have ministered. I couldn't even begin to tell you the number of people, the number of homes that she and I have ministered to all over the world. And people that really don't know who they are in Christ, they're the ones that have never read the book. They're the ones that have the problems, you know, trying to live together as husband and wife. But if you, in fact, I sent a copy of Marriage Rules. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Marriage Rules. I sent a copy of that out. That took us several weeks to make that. I sent that out, and some lady got a hold of it. And she said, I've listened to your Marriage Rules many times since I've got it. And she said, now I know why I can't stay married. She said, I had no idea there were so many rules that God made for a husband and a wife. And then that the other day, we had the wonderful thing happen. We had a couple just a few weeks ago that they had two little children. One of the little children would go wild at school and bang his head on the floor and all kind on his desk and uncontrollable. Nobody could, the doctors couldn't tell you what was wrong with him. Had some kind of wild, crazy thing, but no, there's no help. And so anyway, the other one had eczema, really bad eczema from the time it was born. It just break out in eczema. They brought their children here after they heard about us. And I got to checking, and the two is not walking in love with each other. You know, I mean, they're getting angry with each other. They're bitter with each other. Did God tell you to love one another? But they're not doing that. And so I told them, I said, y'all sins is what's making these kids like they are. I said, as long as you two are living in unforgiveness and bitterness, these kids are never going to get well. They said, you mean to tell us that our sin is what's causing these children to be sick? I said, yes. So they both repented and told God that they would walk in love with each other and do what he said. And Cheryl and I laid hands on both those kids and prayed for them. 3 years came and went. And the other day, just last week or week before last, two or three weekends ago, we got a nice letter from this family, and the mother says, you know, it's amazing when we learned our sin was what was causing the problem, when we repented and got back in our love walk. She says, 3 years have come and gone. I want you to know that our little child that was beating his head on the floor and was uncontrollable is total control. He's now an AB student.
Amen.
Has no problems. He's a good boy. Everything. And the one that had eczema said some of the day it was born, said, you and Cheryl laid hands on our baby that had the eczema, and we left that day, and that child has never had another outbreak of eczema since that day. It's totally healed. So she said, we are walking together in love. We never had any idea that walking in love with each other or not walking in love with each other could cause these kind of problems with our children. But she said, man, it's making a different couple out of us. Isn't that amazing? God said these things. And if you want to have healthy children, You're going to do what he said. If you don't, you're going to have some tormented kids. You know, we've seen these tormented children, you know, many times that they've, oh, my goodness, what a deal. Wow. Are we got the elements going? Are we just about ready? We're still waiting on a little. Still getting everybody get a bread and a juice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are we all passed out now? We're going to be passed out. Praise the name of Jesus. We're ready. Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you what it represents. And I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. And the blood. You think this can't turn up your toenails? Just take a swig of this stuff and believe in Jesus. He can turn your toenails up. If you've never heard the testimony of Isaiah Reed, get you a copy. Amen. Over there on the back table. Isaiah Reed, A Life of Miracles, that's the name of it. Get a copy of that and see what the Lord did for Isaiah Reed when he said, and Isaiah Reed's a black man. I love to hear black people talk. That's just like me being a white Texan. You know, I got a way to talk and they had a way to talk, and he was being confronted with God. God was talking to him, telling him that he needs to get saved. And he said, but Lord, I don't believe in you. And he said, besides that, Lord, you couldn't even save me. I've been so mean, I've been so many things. You couldn't even save me. He said, Isaiah, why don't you just ask me? Okay, God, you demand. That's exactly the way he said that. Okay, God, you demand. If you could do anything with me, try it. He said, boy, God mopped the floor up with me in that place. And that boy got saved. I think it's a great testimony. If you've never heard Isaiah Reed's testimony, now Isaiah Reed and his wife are traveling all over this country, ministering to people and just leading people to Jesus, getting people healed, saved, and delivered. He was Daystar here just a few weeks ago. And God is using that man and his wife. And what a story they got. Wow. But God wants to do that for every one of us. He don't want nobody to perish. He wants everybody to love him, right? And this stuff right here will do it. Jesus, we thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, while we're picking up the cups, if you do not have a Psalm 91 card, be sure and get you one. We got some down here, right? Yeah, make sure you, yes, sir, Bill?
The 50,000 cards that are coming in tomorrow are 1/2 inch thinner, and they'll go in your shirt pocket better. We got them cut down, same wording, same size, but the cards are thinner. I think you gentlemen will like that, but it just won't go in a shirt very easy most of the time if it's got anything in it. So they'll go in your shirt better.
Amen, praise the Lord. Time we get all this done, and when Bill made the first one, he gave a copy of it to me, and I gave it to Cheryl, and Cheryl critiqued it. She said, no, this is wrong. You misspelled some words, put things in the wrong place. It took us a while, but we finally got it all corrected, didn't we, Bill? See, God wanted this thing to be perfect, Bill, because he knew what he was going to do with this thing.
You know what? I was so embarrassed, I just said, oh, well. I threw the card up just like that. I said, I don't know how I could have done it.
But, Bill, this thing, Jesus corrected you. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, the devil, he's trying, but, you know, we can't lose. Just think, we're in the beginning of this Psalm 91 deal, and just think that maybe in a year or two or three or four or 5 years from now, somebody says, Bill, how many cards have you sent out? 14 billion. 14 million. That's not a hard number to figure, is it, Bill? Millions, billions. We could turn. In other words, there's 7.5 billion people on the earth today. Think what would happen if every man, woman, and child on the earth would read Psalm 91 every day. Think what kind of a world we would have. Would that be an awesome world?
Yes.
Yeah, 7 billion people.
Yes.
And how much sickness would we have?
None.
How many hospitals would we need?
None.
Isn't that how many police departments would we need?
None.
We wouldn't have to worry about it. And it's a fact. All, if we would only walk with God, everything in that Psalm 91 that Cheryl read to you a while ago would come true if we'd only read that once a day. I guarantee you the Word of God is the seed and it cannot be broken. And if I'm going to guarantee you that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you read Psalm 91 every day, you will not have any sickness and no disease. It will not happen, will it, Mike?
It's a guarantee.
It's a guarantee. God said it. All you got to do is read it and believe it. Wow. Do we have anything else that anybody needs to make note of or anything before we call it quits?
Nope.
Everything's good? Is everybody going to have a good week this week?
Yeah.
We're going to have an Easter week. Praise the Lord. We praise Him. Don't just go out and praise the Lord for 5 minutes and then forget. He was raised from the dead for you for every day. Every day. So, you know, praise Him, worship Him, and thank Him for being our God.
Thank
you, God. Huh? Oh, yeah.
I said thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. If you don't know, if you're new here, all the CDs and DVDs are all free. You can take all the teachings you want. There's over 1,000 of them. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. You can put your donation in that. If you won't need to be prayed for, we got prayer teams. My prayer teams, I need all of y'all prayer teams to stand up. Yeah, stand up and praise the Lord. Okay, so tie on to one of these people and let them pray for you if you need to be prayed for. And one of them will pray for you. And we'll stay with you till you get healed or delivered or whatever. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all these people. And we praise you, Lord. And we thank you that you are the mighty God, the King of Kings, and that you are God, that you really are God, and that you really do love us, and you really do pour out your blessings on us. And I thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, use all of us. When Bill cried out, Lord, what can I do? You showed him what he could do, and you put him to work. Now, Lord, put us to work. Use us for your glory, and let us see your glory as you're showing it to Bill. Because, Lord, all we got to do is come to you and say, here am I, Lord, send me. And he'll find a place for you to work. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.